Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change, and what a pleasure here today for us to debut a book that's here at the Festival of Books for today and tomorrow here at the University of Arizona. So I welcome on the show Meryl Mahaffey. How are you this morning, Meryl?
Oh, I'm just fine.
Terrific. Well, let me introduce Meryl. He's a native of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and spent his childhood growing up in Grand Junction, Colorado. At 13, he completed his first painting and was encouraged by a local artist to continue with his talent. Meryl's exploration of the West started really at a very young age, first with his father, who's a trained botanist who knew geology and apprised millions of acres of land, creating maps for the Bureau of Land Management, highway construction, and the Rosewood Sioux tribes. As an avid outdoorsman, thus, Meryl has climbed, skied, rafted, fished, rode horseback, and strolled through the subjects of, indeed, his paintings. 4-day hikes into the Rocky Mountain basins with a fly fishing rod, camera, and sketchbook were common for him, as were his first ascents up desert mountain peaks, where he, of course, replaced the fly rod with ropes. A graduate at Arizona State University Master of Fine Arts program and Sacramento State College, Meryl has carved his own path to become one of the leading Western artists of our time. The monumental landscapes from his palette and canvas reflect a true high standard of craftsmanship, exploration, and invention in a style that is ever evolving. Meryl's work, of course, are in private, corporate, and public collections, and have been featured in art and popular print media venues in the U.S. and abroad. So today, the new book is called Upstream Downstream. It's published by Night Horses Fine Art and Publishing and debuting, as we mentioned, at the Tucson Festival of Books. But it's not your ordinary art book. It's a collection of paintings, his sketchbooks, and a philosophical meanderings about art and life. So with that, again, welcome and congratulations, Meryl.
Well, thank you. That's a long story. I'll try to simplify it.
Well, all I know is on your website, underneath your name, it says artist, golfer, fisherman, rock climber, and more. So why don't tell us about the and more part.
Well, anything that has to do with the interaction with people and nature mm-hmm. has been something that interested me since I was a little kid. I think I grew up in an area that was ranching, right. Big game hunting, mm-hmm. uranium mining, gold mining, forestry, and, of course, highway building through the Rocky Mountains and all the little places in between. And I just never thought there was anything to compare with the kind of life you could have if you stayed outdoors most of the time.
Well, and in fact, you look at all the places you've lived in over the years, 3 or 4 different towns in Colorado, New Mexico, and now Phoenix. So that
connection. Yeah, well, it makes
connection.
It sound like I've flit around a bit. I feel like I have to deal with the region seriously, and the only way you can paint places is to go live there.
That's exactly right.
And experience the seasons with them. Otherwise, you're a tourist.
Yeah, that's really nicely put. And it's not until you move someplace do you really get to know what's going on or what isn't going on. Yeah. Well, Meryl, the fact that, of course, any of those of you who pursue the arts, there's so many different venues, media, as well as topics to focus on and concentrate. And here you are finding yourself a landscape painter. Was that always in the plan?
It was always in the plan to be an artist. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what kind of artist. Actually, in graduate school, I studied art history and figure drawing mostly. Mm-hmm. And when I finished my graduate work, I went to a college art department to teach, and I taught figure drawing and figure drawing, and sometimes I would teach painting. But I always thought that if you could draw people, you could draw anything,
mm-hmm. right.
Starting with me. I had to get myself straight first before I claimed to be a teacher of other people, so I drew and drew, and the way to do that was to teach. You know, I was right there with the models all the time.
In fact, I've got your new book in front of me, of course, Upstream, Downstream, that we're debuting at the Festival of Books. And I've noted several places throughout the book where you've done self-portraits that are actually very whimsical. I love them.
That comes because of Rembrandt and Van Gogh. You know, I think their self-portraits is what one quality that distinguishes them from other artists down through the years, that they, I don't know if they were in love with themselves so much, they had to paint themselves all the time. When I was really out of money, I did a lot of, or out of ideas, I would do a self-portrait. I think the ones that are in this book are mostly a joking view of myself.
I think that's exactly
right. Serious view.
You bet, the serious view. Well, put it this way, you don't have to pay those models then, right?
Well, I feel like a cartoon character. Having chosen to be an artist in the first place is kind of, you know, I used to think if one of my children came home and said, "Dad, I want to be an artist when I grow up," you know, I would groan.
Oh, no.
I'd rather buy them a new car or anything, you know. But I did that to my father, and he consulted with my cousin who was taking college art classes. She was older. Mm-hmm. And he said, "My son just told me he wants to be an artist. What should I do?" And she said, "Well, let him go to art school." And so that came about a few years later. And in fact, I went out and lived in the cousin's house with my aunt and uncle and enrolled in college at Sacramento State.
And that's how that brings back.
You know, that was the beginning. And then I met a young man in the class who was painting class, and he said, "Well, you can paint pretty well. What are you doing here?"
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know, you know, from this little town I was, that there were better schools than others. And he said, "If you want to be an artist, you have to go to real art school." I said, "Yeah, I like Art Center. I can't afford that." He said, "No, there are lots of places." And he referred me to the Colorado College. Now it's called the California College of Arts. Mm-hmm. It was a California College of Arts and Crafts. It was established in the 1920s, I think, I'm not sure, when Berkeley was growing up in Oakland, California. There I got to meet some real artists, and these weren't cowboy artists. These were, mm-hmm. you know, these were guys who were, some getting to be world known. And whatever they said, you know, I behaved.
Well, you know, and coming from the background that you did and, you know, enjoying the outdoors and so on, to find yourself there in the hotbed of different things in Northern California, you're right. That's such a font of places to be inspired and directed. But the mere fact, too, that it wasn't until after you left the teaching profession, or was it coincident with that, that you recognized a calling to go into the landscape work?
Well, I could probably say even before the 1970s, when I was doing abstract art, the themes of the art were about nature, were about mm-hmm. the outdoors. Not always with the horizon line. It wasn't earth sky so much as just outdoor spaces, including a series I did of skies. At some point, though, I found the abstract style didn't allow me to try to paint things like rocks, and I was rock climbing pretty actively in those days, and so I decided to do some paintings of the rocks I climbed on, and that led me to think I should paint the places that I go. The only way to do that would be to become more of a realist painter, so I changed my style.
Mm-hmm. And given your family background, too, with your father's influence, that you were out and about in the wilds, the woods, the canyons, the influence of geology, it just seems like a natural matching of your background to where you could go in the future.
I had a seventh grade science teacher that took us rock collecting. And it just happened that I had a great-grandmother who lived in Ouray, Colorado, whose great-grandfather had died, but that was where all the gold mining was being done. And on Thanksgiving or Easter time, we would go up there to visit her, and I could go snoop around old mines and look for crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was all happening before I found out that I was going to take art. But I guess, you know, early impressions created lifetime interest.
Absolutely. They do for all of us.
It worked out that way. So I think when I was in my mid-30s and began to mature, I thought I should go where my strengths lie, and my strengths lie in understanding the landscape. You know, the snow, the ice, the deserts, the lakes, the wind, you know, all of those things can be subjects for my art.
And you know what? I bet that was almost like feeling up you were right in a total glorious dream, that you know, the epiphany or the variety of things that allowed you to see the opportunity to complement all those things together.
Well, there's something to that. It is a different, it was like, you know, I hear, Anwar was listening to at that time, NPR, talk to people, celebrities of various kinds about what they were doing, and, you know, they all seemed to have a cause.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came to this realization about what I wanted to do, I thought, now I have my cause. I can be fulfilled. I can become my own destiny. And the process of doing that became the real subject of my art. Lots of people paint mountains. Lots mm-hmm. of people paint lake reflections and rock formations and so on, to the point where that's almost cliched. But I can bring my own personality, my own experience to it with the responsibility to do something original.
That's beautifully put.
And know that as I learned to do it, I was becoming the person I was supposed to be.
That you're supposed to be all along. For those of you who may have just tuned in, we're speaking with Merrill Mahaffey. You can see his work online, particularly those of you who are streaming, at Merrill, Merrill Mahaffey, MAHAFFEY.com. And he's based here in the greater state of Arizona in the Phoenix area. We're going to be talking now here about his new book, Upstream, Downstream. Well, this idea of becoming who you always were meant to be, Merrill, I know one of the earlier conversations you and I had before we came on the air, you talked about not wanting to be, though, a traditional impressionistic painting, or not wanting to just paint canyons from the rim looking down. You took a very different approach for both of them. Perhaps you can tell us some of that.
Well, part of my learning in art was to realize that if you're a realist, then subject matter is very important, and you can't get around it. It's like, what is that picture about? And you show somebody something, and they say, oh, now I know what it's about. And when you do that, you've begun a communication with your viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So then anybody can do that. So my job was, what am I communicating? And with national parks, for example, there are calendars and books and, you know, slideshows and postcards and magazine stories about every national park, which turns those images of the park into a cliche. If you're a writer and you're sent to the Grand Canyon, how do you make something interesting out of something that we already know about?
Mm-hmm.
And so that became my new job. When I was painting abstractions, I might resemble someone else's style, but nobody had ever seen paint put together in certain ways. And I didn't have that problem. But when I started painting mountains, I was in the mountain painting club, so to speak.
Sure.
And I would get
sure.
compared to other mountains, and people could just say, oh, yuck, I've seen it before.
Right.
And so it's just like musicians. And I came from a lot of music in my background, too. If you play a song too long, people get tired of listening and they don't hear the words anymore.
That's right.
So that was the process, was to find the places that challenged me, thrilled me, interested me, and then make some visual expression of it that was unique enough to be interesting.
Well, and I'd say being the outdoorsman that you were, I mean, well, how fun is that to stay at the top of the rim when you could venture down deep in those canyons or down at the waterline and paint up? That's part of the venture and adventure.
Or have a little backpack tent on the shoreline of a mountain lake that I have to get up and go fishing when the sun comes up. What a job.
What a job. Jeez, and you're going to get paid for doing it. Exactly.
Well, I get paid for taking home some experience that
right.
I had that could make unique art, and that's been my job.
Well, and I think we should also emphasize that point to our listeners who may not yet be familiar with your work, Merrill Mahaffey here, is that your data collection, we'll call it that, is when you're out in the field. But really the creation of the art that we see, not that what you've constructed in your mind, comes with some really substantial reflection and thought and design mentally and painting in the studio, doesn't it, Merrill?
Yes, yes. And I'd call, you know, the data collecting is the first stage. The second stage is editorializing it, mm-hmm. editing in the writing business. And the third part is to interpret. And so that's where I had to start worrying about, is this painting going to look different and interesting, and is it going to show something about what's inside me? At the same time, it's showing what's inside the earth. Mm-hmm. And because I think part of, certainly of modern art, is our preoccupation with the interior life of the artist. And, you know, I read a lot of books, and I get interested in the author, like, what kind of person could write like this?
Exactly, yes. It's the story and behind the story.
So I started to keep records of my work as it progressed. And I think what summarized that, I said, you know, I had a plan, which was just to editorialize everything I saw one place at a time until I finished.
Mm-hmm. Well, indeed, that's what
I'm not finished.
You're not finished, but we've allowed you to take pause because that really is what your book, Upstream, Downstream, is. It's really the manifestation from your collecting all that information. In fact, you told me that really this topic that we're talking about is the leveraging of information technology, isn't it?
Well, that's how I like to view myself. I swore I would never be an impressionist. But sometimes now I'm finding out mm-hmm. that impressionist styles do the best job of communicating the meaning of something. You know, I still don't want to be an impressionist, but I have to watch out for that. And if you look through my book, you'll see little hints of that. Polychromatic color interpretation is how I like to put it. It's like many different colors going on simultaneously that are modifying and reacting with each other. And if they're combined in the right way, you can see, it looks like an alligator.
Yes, indeed. We're speaking with Merrill Mahaffey and his brand new book, Upstream, Downstream, of course, from here at the Tucson Festival of Books. If you happen to be listening to us live, by all means, Merrill, in fact, is at Booth 520 for Night Horses Fine Art and Publishing, which is the east end of Campbell. Watch for the purple tablecloths in this magnificent piece, as well as art behind us here on the wall. Merrill, information technology, though, so we said earlier, it's really this idea of documentation. And in fact, the inside covers of your book are snapshots of all the sketchbooks that you've kept your life story in. How many total did you have here?
I should have counted, but mm-hmm. I'll say I have about 30.
30, right.
That cover from 1960 to the present time. And they're more like journaling.
Mm-hmm.
There's writing in it about what was on my mind at the time. There's sometimes anger, satire. That's the written part, and then I illustrate it with my pictures of paintings,
sure.
Sketches, drawings, cartoons. Sometimes a menu from a restaurant. We didn't put that in the book, but I have been known to do that, even my utility bill, to show how much I spent on electricity.
I love that. And also, of course, not just that which is coming from your pen, but also you're also a very talented photographer. So the opportunity to complement with what the camera can pick up or you position too has added to your journey.
Yeah, I think I consider the camera to be a information collection device.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to treat the camera as art any more than, say, a documentary photographer worries about the art. I just try to get a good quality photograph of what the camera's pointed at. Now, the editor comes into where do you point the camera?
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the art part. You know, that's where the creativity comes in, because the subject really is a creative thing. It's what you do with the subject that makes it creative. And I think this book shows a variety of situations I'm in that everybody has shared with me who might look at it and maybe recognize that I'm showing them that I experienced something they experienced, but in a thought about it that they hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, my collection of data is visual. And so the whole thing is a process, then the book as a whole, not a history, but a process of looking at landscapes at the high altitude in the mountains, at middle altitude in the deserts, the Colorado Plateau, and then down to sea when you get to the ocean. And I see a lot of the same things other people do, but I wouldn't paint a sailboat on the horizon at sunset. You know, I have to be more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. That's by your choice. Well, you mentioned here so that actually you probably always had it in mind, although you didn't know when, that you were going to convert this montage that you've collected through the sketchbooks then and come out with a book.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Once I started the sketchbooks, I was making them for publication. Every page is done in an archival medium so that it could be photographed years later, except the ones that I put together. My very first ones, I was gluing down colored metal foils with rubber cement.
Sure, sure.
Didn't work out too well.
I bet.
Worked on a yearbook in high school, and I thought rubber cement was next to God because you could erase it. But in sketchbook form, flexing the page wore out the glue, and pretty soon the colored tinfoil fell
everything.
Out.
Well, particularly because that you started, as you said, back in 1960. Well, Merle Mahaffey, congratulations again for our readers. The new book is Upstream, Downstream. You can learn more about it at mahaffeyartbook.com, M-A-H-A-F-F-E, artbook.com. Also, Merle's site itself is M-E-R-R-I-L-L, mahaffey.com to see his cards that are available, certainly prints and other fine art that's available for sale. And do come down and meet Merle. We're down here again at the Tucson Festival of Books. It's booth 520 on the east end of the mall near Campbell. Look for the purple tablecloths. Get a chance to look at this magnificent book, which itself is a work of art, and also the chance to interact with our wonderful guest. Merle, congratulations again, and thanks so much for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Thank you, and I want to say that the printers at Arizona Litho probably have created the most beautiful art book I've ever seen.
That's great. And we do acknowledge
really
John Davis and Gil Ballweiler and the team there for their contributions to
the
fine work.
You know, artists and photographers would enjoy looking at the book just for their work.
Indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.